I don't know how fast this sermon will be tonight. Amen. But we're just going to spend some time in the Word of God. And I want to say tonight, too, I was just telling my son, Reagan, sitting back there, I'm amazed at how God puts services together. How he uses frail human beings. And yet in his kindness to us and his mercy, he puts things together. Brother Rob, the song. He is so precious to me. Boy, it hit. Love that old hymn of the faith. And I had written down in my notes tonight to ask the question, what do you think of God? Y'all just give me, just bear with me for a second before we open our Bibles and get into the Word of God tonight. Young people, children, and teenagers, young adults, those of you that have graduated and all those back there in the back row, amen. What do you think of God? I mean, just give yourself what do you think of God? What is God to you? We went on a prayer retreat a month ago. I missed the rally last month because of that. And on that retreat, there's a little trail you go out and you follow and beautiful little hike you can make back in there, and they got everything all nice and stuff. They got signs all over the place though that they want you to meet with God. Now, it's a Catholic place. And so their thinking is different than ours. They want everything to be pretty and perfect. They want it to be serene and still. And I appreciate the idea of trying to do that. And you walk up this beautiful hill. There's hills everywhere, and there's a little church building that somebody built, a little tiny one. And you can go in there and you can get you a little wafer and pop the top on that thing, drink your little grape juice. Oh, that ain't grape juice to them. It's the real thing. But their idea of God was a building. Their idea of God is that's the only place that you can worship Him and know Him. And I ask you a question. What do you think of God? Tomorrow, when you don't have to be at church in the meeting of God's people, what do you think of God? When nobody's over top of you, when you don't have to be anywhere, when it's your opportunity to have your free time, will you spend any of it with the Lord? Is He important enough to you for you to break out your Bible somewhere and go sit on the back porch or go find a spot in your house where nobody's making noise and the animals are not there and your brothers or sisters are not there and you just spend some time in your Bible? Not only do you just spend time in your Bible, but if you thought about what you think about the Lord.
Come on. Amen.
You ever sat back and just told Him, Lord, I just want to tell you I love you.
Yes. Come on.
I don't understand why you love me, but I sure love you. You say, Pastor, I don't do things like that. Well, I know I'm preaching to young people tonight, but if there's one thing I would drive home, is that while you may be young and you may not understand what some of the older saints of God understand, if you'll just give, like the girls sang tonight, the specials were right on target. If you'll give your life, trust Jesus for salvation, but then if He's good enough to save you from hell, why don't you just have the rest of me? And I promise you from the Word of God, and I promise you from personal experience, you will not be sorry. You won't. Oh, we sat. Boy, I wish I could tell you all the stories. What do you think of God? Is He just the God of your parents where you have to go and you have to do? And some people take pride in God. Yeah, I am. Hey, I'll go ahead and poke the bear. I'm a Baptist.
Come on.
You say, you sure about that? Yeah, amen. I grew up in a church that we were Baptist. Yeah. Amen. And we were proud that we were Baptist. And you know what, brother? A spirit of pride has no place in a child of God.
Right. Yep. Amen.
I'm Baptist because the Bible makes me one.
Right,
and I'm glad I get to be saved.
Amen.
And I'm glad I get to believe His word. Amen. Romans chapter number 11. 11 tonight. I want to tell you one other thing. Go ahead and stand once you find it, Romans chapter 11. We'll let everybody get on the same page. Once you're there, say amen.
Amen.
That's good. If you're not there, say oh man. If you're still looking, say I'll be there in a minute. If you don't know where it is, just look intelligently where you are, okay? And pretend like you know what's going on. Once everybody finds it, will you give me your eyeballs just for a minute? This seems like such a weird thing to say. But I got to thinking about this last week, and I don't know why. I'm a Baptist. We do things that other churches don't do. It kind of reminds you of something tonight. God loves you. Doesn't that mean something? Those aren't just words. The girl sang it tonight. You are always good. You're only good. You're always good to me. God loves you. He doesn't love you to leave you. And he doesn't love you to let you live your life the way you want to live it. He bought you. He wants you. He loves you. And tonight we're going to look at it. Amen. Romans chapter number 11, if I told you that, right? And we're going to jump in. We're just going to read a short passage of Scripture. Verse 22 is where we'll start. The history of this is that some people in Romans chapter 11 were lifted up with pride. Some of the Gentiles were. You know why? Because Israel had been set aside. And they were no longer, God was not able to use them. In Acts chapter 7, they killed Stephen. And God set Israel to the side. He's been working with Israel. And Israel keeps committing idolatry. They keep rejected. They rejected the Son of God. They rejected John the Baptist, who was sent by God. And then they rejected Stephen, who was filled with the Spirit of God. And God said, I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to set you to the side for a while. And I thank the Lord that he did, because he gave grace to the Gentiles. That's us. Amen. Salvation, the message of salvation appeared to us. But some of the Gentiles started saying, we're better than Israel. Yeah, them knuckleheads, they stepped out on God, and now look at where we are. You knucklehead. There's no room for pride in the heart of a child of God.
Right.
Amen. If any of us got to be saved, it's all by grace.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And it cannot be by works. That's in this passage of Scripture as well. But I also want to show you something else. Let's pick up in verse number 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. You'll remember God judged Israel, and to this day they're still dealing with that judgment. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. He's talking about a tree where you take a branch and you cut a little notch out, and you can take a strange branch and put it into a tree, and it can be a partaker of the tree and become part of the tree. For God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be graft into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Can I say this? As it is written, it's right there in Scripture. You're not going to change it, amen? There shall come out of Zion the capital D deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away, or when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they, the Israelites, are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing tonight. Lord, we've opened your word. We've heard already tonight the preached word from Brother John. We've heard tonight the singing from the specials. Lord, we got to sing great hymns of the faith unto thy great name. And Lord, you've called us together as a group of people, of believers, of different churches to come together. And Lord, here we are in this moment. Father, we need to hear from you. And I pray your blessing upon the message. Holy Spirit, I give myself to you, and I pray you do your will. I pray that the hearers tonight would have listening and able ears, and that, Lord, tonight it would make a difference in the kingdom of heaven. Father, do a work tonight in our heart as you've already begun, and help us tonight, I pray, to respond in faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the things we look at here in chapter number 11 and verse number 27, you notice what God says here. He said, for this is my covenant. There's something to remember that y'all need to just, and little kids, this sometimes maybe over your head, but I want you to just listen for a moment. There's a difference between a contract and a covenant. A covenant is made, a contract is made between two parties, and if one party breaks the contract is considered broken. The one party may be able to go after the other party for damages and so on and so forth. But the contract is broken if one party breaks the contract. But a covenant's a totally different thing. A covenant is made between two parties, but what the one side of the covenant says, the covenanter will say, is I'm making you a promise that I will always keep, no matter what you do. That's what happens in marriage. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant relationship. Amen. A husband will say to his wife, till death do us part. I will be your husband. I will love you. I will care for you. I will help you. I will lead you, right? Until I die. Or until you kill me, one or the other. A wife says to the husband, I will be your wife, and I will be under your leadership, and I will help you, and I'll just be an encouragement to you, and we'll walk this road together. I will be your helpmeet as long as I live, no matter what you do. No matter what you do. God said this, this is my covenant. This is what I love about a covenant between God and us. God knows us well. How many of you have failed the Lord? Can I ask you a quick question? Does it bother you when you fail the Lord? I mean, does it hurt you down in your heart? Lord, I failed you. Lord, I wish I didn't fail you. And by the way, child of God, it's good that it bothers you. Because if you ever get to the point where you're tired of it bothering you and you're like, I'm going to figure out a way to justify my sin, you're thinking the wrong way. Right. Don't do that. Yeah. Hey, fighting sin is always a fight, and it'll always be a fight till we're called out of here. Right. So fight sin. Amen. Yeah. But God knows that we'd fail him. Amen. Brethren, he knew we'd fail. We couldn't keep our end of the deal. And so he said, it's my covenant. What's God saying? This is what I'm going to do no matter what you do. And brother, he can't go against his word. Young people, learn something. God will never go contrary to his word. God will never lead contrary to his word. God has thought so much of his word that he has esteemed his word greater than his name. You say, why is that important? Because there are many Christians, you'll come along in the Christian life, you'll meet them out soul winning, you'll maybe just have a conversation at work, and people will say, well, that's not been my experience. I've not experienced that. That's not been my experience. I have a lady at our church that said that we were asked, having salvation testimonies. Brother Kaiser, I learned a lesson. You'd be real careful asking salvation testimonies in an open setting. Lady pipes up in the back, been at our church since before I was there. Pastor, I know I'm saved because I was in the hospital for 40 days. I died twice. They were able to bring me back. And that's, these are her words, that's how I know I'm saved. I said, that don't sound like the right kind of salvation to me. We had a discussion. They got mad. They still come to church once in a while. They didn't like the fact that I didn't think they were saved. Well, if you think your salvation experience like that because you died twice on the table and they were able to bring you back to life, that that's what saved you, you're taking your experience over the Word of God. Let me tell you something. This is something you need to remember. Don't ever take your experience over what God says. Because it's real important that you put your faith in the Word of God. Every one of us in here want to go to heaven. The reason we want to go to heaven is because we understand there's a hell. Amen. When I was a kid, that's how it happened for me. I didn't want to die and go to eternal punishment and damnation. I didn't want that. See, what did you do? I trusted Christ. Amen. But if God's good enough for salvation, he's also got something else in mind. I thank the Lord that the older that I get, the more I'm learning about how much God actually loves me. And I don't comprehend it. Brother Antoine, I struggle. I sit there, shake my head sometimes. Lord, really? Why do you love me? Why do you love? But he does. Because it's his covenant. He's got to keep his word to himself. Because if God doesn't keep his word, he's a liar. That's really good. You say, why? Because we can't serve somebody who lies. Amen. If one part of your Bible was untrue, you pick which part you think is untrue, then can you believe any of the rest of it? Can men lie to you? Can women lie to you? Can kids lie to you? Can mamas and daddies lie? Oh, yeah. Sound like everybody else can lie but God. I think I'd rather put my faith in somebody who cannot lie. Okay, how many's going to heaven tonight? You know for sure, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Look, don't. Amen, Brother Ryan. Brother Ryan, I am. You're going to heaven tonight. You are by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That being said, God bought you with his blood. But there's more than that. God did not buy you, like I said earlier, just to leave you. He did not buy you just to let you live on this earth a miserable life and struggle through all the pains of life and dealing with all sorts of physical circumstances and financial circumstances and family problems. He didn't die just to let you suffer. He died so that he could have a relationship with you. This is something why I preached this last time we were here in this very place. God desires to meet with you. Just put that in your mind as shaky. God wants you. He wants time with you. He wants time with you, dear brother. What's your name? What is it? Hunter. He wants time with you. Well, he don't want time with me. He's God. He's got other stuff. He wants time with you. So I don't believe that. Well, let's go ask Enoch, who's still with God, who just, the only thing we know about him was he walked with God. I preached that last time we were here. Let's talk a little bit about Noah. Noah walked with God. Sound to me like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what God wanted to do was walk with them. What we find sometimes in our life is we want We want to know our purpose. I said this last time as well. We want to know why we're here on this earth. There are people that are unsatisfied. I don't know if I'm supposed to be a doctor. I don't know if I'm supposed to be the president of the United States. And there are times that I think I am. Amen? Amen? And if I was, the Middle East would be a crater. Amen? And so that's why I'm not. I hope this is going out over the web. Amen? The men in black are going to come see me. I'm glad it don't work that way. I wonder, you know, what's my calling? Am I supposed to be just a pastor? Or just an electrician? Just a father? Just a husband? Just a low guy in society? There's got to be something better. I'll tell you this. What I have found of the Lord is God knows exactly where He wants you. And God knows exactly where He wants me. And the moment that you surrender to His will, when you walk with Him, your life changes forever. The moment that you just say, okay, Lord, I'm done fighting. I'll do whatever you want me to do. By the way, just quit fighting. You'll have a whole lot easier life. You're not going to fight with God and win. Amen? So here's what we're going to, I'm preaching a message tonight on God's calling. We're going to go through 3 points here. And we'll visit. Look at verse number 29 real quick, all right? For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Now hang on. Haven't the children of Israel caused God a lot of heartache? It's because of the children of Israel that we hear God say these words, I, the Lord, am a jealous God. You say, what is jealousy? How many's heard the term jealousy? Right? Let me just tell you something about jealousy and envy. Jealousy only happens over something you own or related to. When you hear people say, I'm so jealous, well, is it yours? Was it yours? If it is not yours, then you are envious, and now you're committing a sin. Now you're being covetous. Right? Is everybody on board with me for a second? God said, I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Why did He say that? Because God owned and loved Israel. And what did Israel do to Him? They were idolaters, whoremongers. They walked out on God. In the town, in the city of Jerusalem, where once they sacrificed to God, and God was their king, so to speak. He was their leader over Solomon and so on. At one point, they were offering sacrifices and burning their own children in the same city from the same king. Can I tell you, it grieved God's heart? You say, why? Because they walked away from the Lord. So God can rightfully say, I, the Lord, am a jealous God, because if we're bought with a price, we belong to Him, and He loves us and desires that we would stay with Him and walk with Him. And by the way, child of God, we can. The Bible says that these things are given to us for examples. The children of Israel are given to us for examples. How do you, those who don't learn their history, help me. Any of the young people know that phrase? You know that phrase? If you don't learn your history, what happens? You're going to repeat it. So that means to tell me this, that if you don't read the Word of God and know the Word of God, guess what you're going to do? Oh, let's bring it home for a second. I don't think this is, hang on, airplane's not off the ground yet. Child, young people, read your Bible and spend time in prayer, and those two go together, okay? But I don't like reading my Bible. It's so hard. And I don't understand it. And sometimes I have to read my Bible, and I just don't want to. I got other things I want to do. Or sometimes it's just boring when I read my Bible. I sit down and read it, and I think about all kinds of other things except my Bible. Well, you're learning what everybody deals with. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to discipline yourself. But here, let me tell you something. Okay, so don't read your Bible. Go ahead, just don't. All right, skip a day, skip a week, skip a month. Then it'll be really easy. You'll start skipping years. Just don't read it. Can I tell you what your end will be?
No.
You're going to go against God.
Yep.
You're going to mess up your life.
Yep.
If you marry somebody, you're going to marry the wrong person.
Yep.
If you don't shack up with them first.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have children.
Uh-huh.
And those children are going to be a very big detriment to your heart.
Yep. Yep.
They're going to bring you pain. They're probably going to be in jail and out of jail on drugs if they live a full life up to adulthood even.
Yeah. Yep.
You say, Pastor, that's a pretty bleak picture. I'm just telling you, don't read your Bible. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you're looking at. And who wants that? Anybody? Any takers? For your children and your grandchildren to bring shame to your heart and your name? And every time you think about them, bring grief in your soul? Anybody up for that? You guys want that? No? Nobody? Come on. But that's what the world's offering.
Yep, that's right.
You say, but Pastor, when I sit and read my Bible, it's just not all that. I understand that. But read it anyway. Because every time we read, we're blessed.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1 said, blessed is he that readeth and heareth these words of the prophecy. I like reading the Word of God. Sometimes it don't all get in here, but it cleans out a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And some of it, Brother Rob, sticks. And then the more that I read, the more I love. And the more it tunes me in, and the more it helps me. We sat the other night, and we had a conversation with a lady. And it was a good conversation, but it was a shameful conversation. She told us of decisions she had made. And what those decisions that were made did have affected her family years down the road and still is affecting her family.
Yep.
And I appreciate that candidness, the honesty. And I realized something, Brother Kaiser, it's good to just stay on the right track. But I'll tell you, the right track's a lonely place to be.
Yep.
We're going to look at two things tonight about the calling of God. If you're saved tonight, God didn't save you, Brother Antoine, just to sit.
Yep.
He's got something for you.
And
you'll find it only by walking with him.
That's right.
So just fall in love with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Just go ahead and learn to love who Jesus is. Amen? Just go ahead and love him. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. Come on. Is heaven below my Redeemer to know? For he is so precious to me. Make him precious to you, and what you'll find out that is you walk with him and you learn to love him, spending time in your Bible and spending time praying, God is going to give you a calling. Every saved child of God is going to be called to something. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will not bear it out. I want to give you this real quick about the calling of God. Sometimes people only view the calling of God as that of being a pastor. Right? And in churches, that's the way it was when I grew up, Brother Rob. God's calling you. He's calling you to preach. Or he's calling you to be, it's either preaching or missions. Preaching or missions. Well, I'm here to tell you, if God called everybody to preaching and missions, there's nobody to preach to. Right? Now, at some point, listen, I would love for everybody to have that opportunity, but God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. Amen. So there's different offices in here. Did you know tonight we walked into a clean building? And we thank God for a clean building. So somebody called a janitor. We don't know who it was, whether it was Brother Kaiser, Miss Emily, maybe it's somebody else in the church that just decided to vacuum, sweep, take care, put all the psalm books up, because the meeting of God's people is fixing to happen and we want it to be ready. Well, that's not important. The preaching's important. We couldn't sit here and have preaching and listen to singing if this place wasn't prepared. God called somebody to prepare this place. And whoever it was that cleaned, from the bottom of my heart, seriously, God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
The work of God couldn't happen in a messy place.
Right.
He said, but preacher, that's just low. I couldn't do that. We were listening last night, cleaning toilets. Hey, listen, if you won't do the lowest job in church, I agree. You can't have any job. You like cleaning toilets? Do you really? It's good to know you. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I don't mind doing it. Amen? I hate using a dirty one. Amen? I thank God for clean toilets. Ain't nothing worse than washing your hands and ain't no paper towels. You got to use your brother's sleeve. Amen. All those things that we take for granted, God put in somebody's heart. I need you to clean at McGregor Road Baptist Church. Hey, I need somebody to, sometimes the limelight only comes on the people doing music and the people on piano, Miss Denise, my wife, same way. That's the calling of God. That's when we talk about being called of God, that's what we're talking about. That's not what God's talking about. God has different things for each one of you, and you'll find it if you'll spend time with the Lord. Now, when God calls you, three things. Here we go. We're going to go quick. Number one, the calling of God to the lost. I want to reach this out real quick. God is always calling out to lost people. And in a crowd this size tonight, are y'all hearing me in the back? Amen. In a crowd this size tonight, there are people who may not know that they're on their way to heaven because they really haven't put their faith in Christ. They put their faith in their church. Put their faith in their parents. They put their faith in something else. You might be sitting, one of you up here may be lost tonight and don't really understand your need of grace. But if you're here tonight, God's calling you, and this service is yet another opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by accident that you're here. Oh, I've heard all that before, and it just kind of washes off my back. No, the problem is that you've heard it so much, your heart is getting callous to the gospel. That's a scary place to be. When the gospel can hit your heart and bounce off and it not bother you, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and God, the God of heaven that made you came and died for you, and it doesn't bother you, your heart's getting hard. Hey, Christian kid who grows up in church and you hear the gospel all the time but you haven't yet trusted Christ, be careful, your heart will get hard. Well, I'm just trying to wait for the right moment. Now, you don't have tomorrow. You can't go back to yesterday, but you got today. You have this moment that God will hold you in account for. Take it. God is calling to the lost. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Thank God he calls the lost. But then God calls the saved too. Good to be saved. Amen. What God has set out to do, he'll do. Will you turn with me now for just a moment? Let's go to a couple passages of scripture. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a moment. Everybody okay? Good. Would you lie and tell me if you weren't? Amen. Number one, something you need to remember about God's calling is God is faithful to it. You might not be, but God is. Look at verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll tell you, I may borrow some help here. Want a young man, jump up and read that loud. Go for it, John.
Brethren, pray for
us. Yeah. Amen. How about verse 24? 1 Thessalonians 5. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Read it loud.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen. Good.
Boy, I'm thankful for that. Number one, God is faithful, and he calls us, and he will perform it. Noah didn't like the idea of building an ark in the sense of he's like, I'm sure he had the idea. An ark? We really believe it. Rain? Because they hadn't seen it before. Flood. Now, Noah wasn't stupid. But at the same time, he's hearing some new words. And an ark. And God just gives him the blueprints in word form. Amen. A long, really, really long, really wide, and really tall. Amen. I forget all the dimensions of it. 45 cubits and 50 cubits and 300 cubits, I think it was. He gives them the dimensions of it and then says, hey, I want 3 floors in it and a window and a door, and then you take care of the rest. And Noah did just that. But Noah hadn't heard of that before, and I'm sure he scratched his head when God called him to build an ark. But was God faithful? Okay, we need to remember something. When it was time to get in the ark, Noah took his family, and what did he do? He went and set up camp somewhere. What did he do? He went into the ark, and he turned around and grabbed a rope to close. Oh, and that's not what Scripture says. You all help me. What did Scripture say? And God, oh man, so good. How many of you saved? By faith in Jesus Christ, not by your church, not by your experience, but by faith in Christ. Did God shut the door? Did Noah fall down when they were rocking on the waves? You don't know? I'm going to say he did. I'm going to say as they were scooting along, they may have nailed a mountaintop somewhere. Boom! They wouldn't have hit an iceberg. They wasn't ice yet. But I'm sure they hit some potholes somewhere. They hit a low bridge. They had some trouble. And maybe Noah tripped and fell in the ark. But did he fall out? Isn't that good? Does that make sense? Jesus is a type of the ark. If you can't fall out of the ark, can you get out of Jesus? No! It's all in Scripture. So faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it.
Amen.
Who saved Noah? God did. Did Noah get on the ark willingly?
Yes.
God did not push him. God will not make you serve him, but he invites you to.
Yes.
And he says, if you serve me, I'll shut the door behind you and I'll protect you. You're going to fall. You're going to make some mistakes, but you can get up again and keep serving me.
Amen.
Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I need another young man, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. If you would, please stand and read it good and loud. All right, Mr. Thaddeus. Notice some words in this passage of Scripture. But God is faithful. You and I might not be, and we desire to be, but there's times when we're not. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Even when you and I are not, he is. And therefore, when he calls us, we can stay with the calling because God is faithful, not because we are. Do I desire to be faithful? You better believe I do. But I'm not God. I can't be perfect yet. Amen. Here we go. Number one, it's a heavenly calling. If you're taking notes, I'll give you 3 points. It's a heavenly calling. You say you sure about that? James chapter number 3. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Amen. Let's rather do that. Hebrews chapter 3. And I need another young man, if you would, please. Stand and read aloud. Hebrews chapter 3. And we're going to find verse number 1. Right down here in front. Good and loud. Holy brethren, partakers of the, help me, what does Scripture say? You say, why is that important? Okay, if Joe Biden called here, Brother Kaiser would take the phone call and we would let him. And Brother Kaiser would try to reason, but anyway, we'll not go there. If there is no reasoning, amen, just give him an ice cream cone and it'll all be okay. If... That's funny, and it'd be okay, all right? But if he called here and told us that we're no longer going to be able to meet as a church, we're not able to meet as churches, we're not able to have the Word of God, we're not able to go preach the gospel. Now, he wouldn't do that. I don't think he would. I'm sure he would like to. But Do you know that it doesn't matter what he says about what God has called us to do? Because he is an authority in our life, is he not? I'll ask you a question again. I know we don't. He is an authority in our life. Well, that's still weak. It's the office of the President of the United States, and I may not enjoy the man, as it were. Amen. But at the same time, he is an authority in our life, but he's not the authority. You see, he may be the most powerful man, he may be in the office of the most powerful man in the world. Are you with me? But there's an authority above him. And this is the great thing about being a child of God. There is no higher authority than God himself. And when God calls us, we're not up here at the top, y'all. We're toward the bottom down here. When God calls us, he is the ultimate authority. And when he tells us to do something, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It is a heavenly calling. Amen? I love that. You say, well, what's the other kind of calling? Well, let's go look at the book of James, and I'll read this one this time. James chapter 3. We looked at this on Sunday in our church, speaking about the tongue, right? If you go over to the other passage of Scripture in here, from whence come wars and fightings among you, amen? Come they not hence, even out of your lust? And people, we love to have the preeminence. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 13 in the book of James. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Can I pause and ask you, where does true wisdom come from? It comes from God and only the Lord, right? The book of Proverbs bears that out. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Why? This wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Wisdom that is full of fighting. Are you with me? Wisdom that wants to lord it over somebody else. Wisdom that wants to make sure that you're right, no matter what. Notice what it says about this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So that means when God calls, it's a heavenly calling. What the world calls is from earthly, sensual, and devilish wisdom. We don't need it, don't want it. Well, I'm glad God makes it clear. Can I get a witness? He just makes it clear. If you're going to serve the world, earthly, sensual, devilish. If you're going to serve God, it's a heavenly calling. Number two, it's a high calling. Help me. That little phrase at the top of the sheet, the theme, thank you for the help, of the youth rallies is pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God calls us to many different things. And let me say this, y'all hear me and hear me well, because many people just want to have the preeminence. They want to have what goes on behind the pulpit or the piano or the singing groups. They want the limelight. If they don't have the limelight, they feel like they're not serving God. I'm here to tell you something. If God called you to clean the toilets at the church, and you do it because you love God, there is no higher calling for you. And let me just let you in on a little secret. This happened last night too. It's funny how these meld together, brother. If you're willing to do the little jobs, God will give you bigger ones. God will give you the high ones at his leisure and at his desire. If you'll just, Lord, I don't care what you have me do. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Whatever you want me to do. We heard a little story last night, an illustration. Guy wanted a job. Pastor didn't know what to give him, so he said, just watch the steeple. Right? Oh, what a job. Watch the steeple. And finally, he kept watching the steeple, giving a report, and was told. Finally, he got to the point, he said, Pastor, we It's starting to grow mold, and we need to address the steeple issue. Amen. He is faithful to it. And from what we heard, he ended up moving on up. God moved me. I don't know if he's pastoring a church or what, but if you do the little things that God's called you to do, God will call you to bigger things. You got to be under what you're supposed to be under before you can be over what you're supposed to be over. Amen. Well, I don't like all the rules. Well, guess what? You'll be under them the rest of your life. And if you don't learn to live under the rules, they're going to be a bane to you the rest of your life. So learn to be under what you're supposed to be under so you can be over what you're supposed to be over. It's a heavenly calling. Number two, it's a high calling. There is no other people. Hang on, I want to give you a quick illustration on this. Noah was the only one found walking with God when he built the ark, correct? Number two, remember when Samuel came to Jesse? God told him to meet, and he said, hey, where are all your boys? God's going to anoint a king from your family. Remember he sat down, he went through Eliab, and Aminadab, and all the brothers, and God kept telling Samuel, And Samuel's like, well, that's all of them. That's what Jesse said, that's all of them. Samuel's like, God hasn't said yes to any of these. Is there anybody else? And these were their words. Well, there's just David, little David, and he's out. Anybody help me? What was he doing? Keeping his father's sheep. I want you to chew on that. We know from the history of David that while David was just out keeping sheep, he wasn't just out keeping sheep. If you ever wanted to have an adventure serving God, ask David. Yeah, amen. He was sitting out there one day, and all of a sudden from out of the woods came a lion. Yeah. You think you're a man. I think I'm a man carrying a gun. David grabbed that lion and slew him with his hands. Yeah. And he is just a young man. Yeah. And he said another time there was a bear that came out and tried to steal away one of the lambs. And I went, Brother Josh, he's a hoss. He killed the bear with his hands. And he's just a little shepherd boy. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? We think that our spot that's God given to us is of no concern to anybody else. Hey, his brothers may not have known about the lion because they didn't tell Saul about it. David had to say it. Nobody else may have known what David went through, but God knew. Yeah. You be faithful to the calling God's given you. Amen. Let me rephrase this. Be faithful to your walk with God. Yeah. Mm. Don't worry about your calling. Be faithful to your walk with God and God will call you.
Yes.
Learn to walk with God and God will call you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Just learn to love Jesus. Yeah. Amen, Thaddeus?
Yeah.
Just learn to love Jesus. You love Jesus, he'll lead you. All right? Then the second thing I found is this. There's another somebody in Scripture who was called, didn't exactly enjoy it. His name was Jonah. Remember him being called? And what did he do with his calling? I ain't doing it. He was a racist preacher. He was. I don't like those people. They don't deserve to hear the Word of God. And I'm not taking it to them. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, it says, the gifts and the calling of God are, help me, talk to me, without, Brother Thornsley, if it was me and Jonah, I'd have killed him. You say, you would have? That's awful mean. Okay, parents, let me ask you about your kids. It's amazing. It's of your parents' mercies that y'all are still here. Some of you older ones know, you disobedient people, when you were little, maybe even today, huh? Can I tell you, isn't it amazing that God would let that disobedient brother live? When he did exactly the opposite of what God said. I am not preaching to those people. They don't deserve your word. I'm going as fast as I can and as far as I can. God said, okay. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I want them Ninevites to have the gospel, and you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You see, Jonah could have received a blessing.
Yeah.
He could have received a blessing. He could have gone in there at the word of God and said and preached, and God would have made his name great, so to speak. The town would have had revival, as it were, anyway. But Jonah hated every minute of it. Hated every minute of it because he wasn't in love with God. Huh. If you're in love with God, it doesn't matter what he calls you to do. Lord, I'll do like David. I'd rather just be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I don't care if you have me sweep floors, change the toilet paper, hand out the church bulletin, mow the grass, clean the sewer lines. I don't care, just as long as I get to serve you.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Because there are some people in their calling, they didn't like it. And boy, God had to get after them. Nobody wants a bad testimony like that. Third thing, and we're done. It's a hopeful calling. What does Joe Biden as a president? I don't know if I'm preaching to the kids now, but some of y'all, how many of y'all pay attention to politics? I don't pay a lot of attention, but I pay some attention. Every time you turn on the radio, it's always bad news. It's never good news. The chicken didn't cross the road, he got hit. So it's always bad news. What hope is our president, whether he be Donald Trump or whether he be Joe Biden or Obama? Or can I ask you a question? What hope have they ever been able to give America? I mean, talk to me. They don't have any hope. There really isn't any hope. They don't know what they're doing. That's not true either. They do know what they're doing because the powers of darkness are behind them. But there is no hope offered down here. You talk to people without God and they have no hope. They're hoping to maybe make it to a certain spot in life and do good here, but then we ask the question, then what? If a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, so you did well down here, now you're going to spend eternity in hell paying for it. The world looks down on people like Noah. Remember what we said last time we were here? Noah stepped onto the ark, a minority. There was only him and his three sons and their wives and his wife. And everybody else in the world looked at the ark, listened to his message, and said, "You're nuts." He's a minority. They thought he was crazy for building an ark for 120 years of faith in God. Boy, what a testimony.
Yeah.
By faith, Noah built an ark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People looked at him and said, "You're nuts." People look at children of God today and they tell us we're nuts.
Yeah.
We're occultists. We're crazy. We're not progressive. We're just here to be against everything. No, my friend, we're just here for God.
Yes.
You say, "But I'm not popular." Good, you don't want to be popular
That's
in the
right.
world.
That's right.
Can I tell you who you want to be popular with? The Lord.
Yeah.
And you find that in your prayer closet. It's a high calling, it's a holy calling, and it's a hopeful calling. I want to look at a couple of verses of Scripture real quick. Jeremiah chapter 29. Give me a young man on the teenage side over here. Go, 29:11, Jeremiah, please, if you would. Everybody okay? We're almost done. It's an hour long. Lord, help me. I didn't mean to preach this long. It ain't a three-legged chicken message. Jeremiah 29:11, go. Nice and loud.
"For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an
expectation.
God thinks thoughts toward you. And he desires to use you and help you. So why wouldn't you follow God? Maybe you struggle tonight and you're thinking to yourself, it's just a youth rally. We do these all the time. I hear stuff like this at church and whatnot. I'm just simply saying to you, learn to love God, follow Him. As you walk with Him, God will call you, and there is no greater calling. It will minister to you while you're here, and it will bring rewards in heaven. How many has ever been ashamed because you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Mama told you to do chores before she got home. Ringing any bells? All of them nodding their heads. And you didn't do it. My dad did that to me many times. I'm a slow learner. And he said, sweep the garage before I get home from work today. It was 5 o'clock and Dad was fixing to be rolling into the house. Guess what I started doing? Sweeping the garage. Guess what happened? Dad rolled up in the garage while I was sweeping the garage. Guess what happened? My hiney hurt for a while. Amen. Last verse I would give you is this, John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's a hopeful calling. God's not calling you to waste your life down here and then it count for nothing. Been to funerals of many people. I got phone calls of friends that I worked with, and they say, you're a pastor, will you come preach the funeral of my cousin? You go in and you look at this boy laying, he was smoking marijuana and just quit breathing. Had a cuss word on his hat, a joint, somebody stuck a joint in his ear, listening to garbage music. And when I look at that life in regards to, it's worthless. His life did not count for anything. They said he made a profession of faith when he was 9 years old. But his life sure never showed it. I don't know if he was saved or not. I'll say this to you and I. If we want our life to count for something, let the Lord call you. And He'll call you by walking with Him. Just walk with Him. Amen. Is that time to be done? Is that what that is? It's somebody's timer. Amen. I want you to learn something. If you take anything home tonight, this. Learn to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you a high calling, a holy calling, amen, right? And it'll be a helpful calling. It'll be something that will help you the rest of your life and pay off in eternity. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We ask your blessing upon the message. Lord, I know it's been long. They've listened well. But Father, tonight I pray you'd work in the hearts. Lord, I don't know if anybody's here tonight who does not know that they're saved, but I pray you'd work in their heart about salvation. I pray for those, Lord, that may struggle and just wonder, Lord, you've called me to this, but it sure seems difficult. It seems hard. It seems, Lord, like it's just never going to pay off. Lord, tonight would you help them to just realize that you're the one that will do it if they'll just stay faithful to you. Father, do the work that needs to be done tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.